When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Give me one shot here on a blue chip stock. Believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What the fuck is good, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back. The Wolves of Ball Street, the motherfucking Draft Hack, NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Corey Tulliba. I am your host of the podcast, alongside my co-host, Garbage Time, Albert Gim. Albert, what's going on, man?
Guys, I hope all our listeners understand that was the most aggressive entrance ever from Corey, but there's a reason. I can already feel it. We haven't talked about it pre-recording, but I know for a fact that this is going to be a huge episode for Corey because I know he loves Jaden Hardy, so if that intro was like a precursor to anything, just buckle up, guys, because I can tell Corey's going to come in hot today.
You know what? It's a lot of things. I'm coming in hot. This past weekend, I got to go back out on the road with my guys in patent pending, who I spent, you know, like almost a decade working for on the road as their designer and guy who ran their merchandise. And they played a festival in Pittsburgh. Truly terrible city. So I apologize to anybody listening from Pittsburgh. The AAA ballpark that the festival was at was great. And you have one of my favorite eateries in BD's Mongolian Grills, but the city itself, not the best. It's not the best city. It's not my favorite at the very least. But the rock show was amazing to be at, so I'm hyped on that. It's been 2 weeks since we did a pod. You were feeling a little bit under the weather last week. So I'm just excited to be right back and talking hoops, man.
No, I mean, we had a little bit of a COVID scare at work. So that's why we took a little break. But all is good. We all tested negative. So it's good to be back, man.
Yeah. And let's just get right into it, man. I know Albert alluded to it a little bit, but we're touching on Jaden Hardy today for today's episode. And I got a hard on for Hardy right now, man. It's simple as that. The kid tickles my fancy. I watching him, you know, sometimes you just get that feeling, you know what I mean? And I got that watching him. So let's just start this thing off, man. Jaden Hardy is a shooting guard headed to the G League Ignite program. This is where Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green played last season. He's 19 years old, 6'4", 190, could not find a wingspan. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year for 2020 in Nevada, 30.4 points per game, 9.1 rebounds, 8.4 assists. His shooting splits I could not find, but I love that number, 30 points per game. That's a baller number at whatever level you score that at. Let's get into some stock prices. Preseason, ESPN has Jaden Hardy at number 3 behind Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren. SB Nation has him at 9. A little bit of an outlier there. Tankathon has him at 3. Bleacher Report has him at 3. Myself, Corey Tulliba of the Draft Act Podcast, has him at 1, Albert.
Damn it.
That's an average stock price of 3.8, because I'm going to throw mine in there because I'm firm on that right now, even though, you know, there's a hell of a lot of film to watch. But these are preseason rankings, so I'm going all in. I ask this of you because we haven't really talked about Hardy much together, which is good because we're saving it for the pod. Is Jaden Hardy stock price too high, too low, or is it just right?
See, I'm already upset just because I was really hoping to beat you to the punch and say that he was my number one guy, because I already knew that he was your number one guy, but I wanted to beat you to it. But yeah, I mean, his stock price is way too low for me. I'm at a point right now where what I wrote in my notes is he's my number one guy heading into the season. And I think it's going to be really, really hard to change my mind, is how I feel right now. So yeah, I think it's too low, because when I look at guys like, I mean, just from what I've seen so far, of course, like we're watching a lot of like freaking high school club AAU stuff. And so, I mean, obviously our evaluations are going to change over time, but as of right now, heading into the season, Hardy's my number one guy, and Holmgren has kind of fallen off a little bit for me. But anyway, Hardy, too low for me. I have him number one.
We'll talk about Chet fairly soon on one of these episodes before the college season starts. I agree, man. I think that he should be the number one prospect going into the year. I get it with Chet. I get it with Banchero. But to me, like, Hardy is just an absolute sure thing, no-brainer. Like, this dude has a legit shot to lead the NBA in scoring at some point. Right. You know, it's like the talent was overwhelming, and I think that, like, there are question marks with Chet and Paolo that I don't have with Jaden Hardy. And we'll get into, and not to say he is a flawless player, I'm not saying that. I just have, he's just like a natural basketball player. Whereas like Paolo Banchero, like, has all of these super slick skills, but like sometimes there's just something a little off. Chet, obviously, like, what the hell is the body going to happen? I wrote a long article on like, what is he exactly? You know, our friend Tyler Rucker from Backcourt Violation, and soon to be a new collaborative project between, us three and a few more friends, he you know, has mentioned that like maybe Chet is a small forward, you know, kind of like Durant. And like, I can't back that. I love the question. Mm-hmm. I love asking fun questions like that, and I get it. But I'd be shocked if that were the case. I know what Jaden Hardy is, and I know the direction of the league, and I know how easy it's going to be for him to get buckets. Before we get into what he's good at, what he's not good at, like, I kind of feel more confident in Hardy than I did in Jalen Green when watching their high school film. Now, I'm just comparing their high school film, and I was super high on Jalen Green in high school. I thought he played phenomenal in the FIBA U19s. Like, I thought he was the real deal. I loved how he was able to play in a supportive role with the USA team, and then like kind of as that dominant scoring threat, his athleticism, all that. Hardy doesn't have the athleticism, but just watching him, there was so much wow so many times that I was just like, that's the dumbest thing. Like, and he just kept doing things. I go, oh my God, that's stupid. How does he keep doing it? But let's get into it. I mean, if you put on the highlights, you'll see it starts with the shooting, right? Like, this is what Jaden Hardy is. Mm-hmm. He's a sniper. Talk to me a little bit about his shooting.
I mean, first thing in my notes, parking lot range. Classic, like, guy who can just get it up from anywhere. I don't like that saying.
lots of dick jokes on that. I mean, yeah, that's the second dick joke we've had on this. We're 8 minutes into the episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. He really can shoot it from anywhere. Like, the range is unbelievable. Something that I did want to say about the shot, it's a weird, weird thing for me where I thought, like, sometimes the shot looks easy and sometimes it looks really hard. If that makes sense. And I think part of it is like the leg kick. Part of it is like, I don't know, maybe he really just, like, it seemed like he was constantly battling himself in terms of like, how deep is too deep for me in terms of the shooting? Like, it felt like he was like, can I shoot this far? Let me try it. Should I not shoot this far? Let me get a little closer. Like, it felt like he was doing that. But it's unbelievable. Like, the shot does look beautiful. I really like the mechanics on it. Now, I'm not some like shooting doctor, but you know, like, just from my own eye test, like, I think it looks good. I think it looks pretty compact. It looks repeatable. It looks fluid. It doesn't look robotic or janky at all. Like, I really do like the jump shot. So I guess, like, my initial thing on the shooting is, like, I love it. I love the range. I love the confidence. I love the volume. And even when he's taking wild shots, it doesn't feel like a wild shot because he really does have that type of range. Like, you know, in the same way when Dame takes a shot a foot inside the half court line, it's like, that's not a crazy shot for him. That's a Dame shot. And that's kind of how I felt watching Hardy.
I couldn't agree more. His, like, Dame is the name that I'm definitely going to mention again later at another point in the podcast. But the kids today, man, the range that they could shoot, like, it's unbelievable. Hardy is definitely an exception in that his range is even it's hard in an audio format, if you haven't watched Jaden Hardy, to really get through how absurd some of these shots are in where he's pulling up from on the regular. You know, like, obviously this trend started, it feels like, obviously Steph pushed the game forward, and then, like, it felt like at Chino Hills, the Ball brothers and the ranges that they were shooting from just kind of gave us an entirely new world of what shooting could be at lower levels. Obviously in the NBA, Dame has taken the range to, you know, Logo Lillard. We call him that for a reason, but I distinctly remember, I feel like the Ball brothers were shooting from these absurd distances first. I think the Ringer did an article, like, I think maybe like around when they launched, mm-hmm. that this is when, like, the Balls were still kind of on the DL, mm-hmm. For a national audience. Like, Lonzo was still there. I think maybe he was, like, even going into his senior year, and it was just like highlighting how ridiculous some of the shots that these guys were taking were from the distance. And then, like, LaMelo did the point at the half court line and pull up. And then it felt like all bets were off. And Jaden Hardy now is legitimately multiple times a game is the thing. It's like multiple times a game, hand in his face, no hand in his face. He's putting it up from wherever. And it's like not a bad shot or not, not an unmakeable shot, I should say.
Right.
I think that sometimes his shot selection is questionable. Right. And that suffice to say, but a lot of times with these kids that are in the high school AAU age range, a lot of these kids take questionable shots. But this range, like, I'm trying to think, like, is there a possibility that the range that he's shooting from, just inside basically half court, does he expand his range in his career? Like, is that going to be possible?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, it might be a thing where, like, you know, instead of getting the ball over before 8 seconds, he just shoots it before getting the ball over. So maybe that's like a new meta in basketball or something.
Right. That would be insane. And right now anything's possible. And if that were to happen, I'd be like, all right, I guess it's believable at this point. But one of the things I really like about his jump shot and his form is it's more of like a classic form than kind of like all the shooters who grow up trying to emulate Steph. It's less of that push shot and more of a traditional jumper. There's a little bit of that kind of one motion shooting. It's very smooth, but he releases it high. He gets that high arc. It doesn't feel like Tyrese Maxey doesn't shoot it high enough.
Right. Right.
You know, trying to think of some other guys off, even quickly sometimes has that, right? His shot feels more traditional in where he's actually releasing it from. But it's pretty, man. It's pretty. And his shot making, it's every level. Like, we talked about the far, but he can come off screens right at the line, and he can get into the mid range and hit like ridiculously hard, contested, off balance mid range shots. I think that he's every bit the shot maker that Jalen Green is. And I think because he's a better shooter, he's a better shot maker.
Correct. Yeah.
At least at the high school level. I mean, look, what Jalen Green did at the G League was incredibly impressive. And it's going to be really fun to see if Hardy can match that. What Jalen Green did at Summer League was also unbelievably impressive. And his shot making has just keeps progressing and trending up in the right direction. So I don't want to put the expectation that he's going to come out and match that with Jalen Green, but he has every bit of that potential as a shot maker. And he's one of the guys that I think when you watch these high school kids, like, his game was made for the NBA. Like, mm-hmm. I think that he could have made more money going to college, which is something that sounds insane to say out loud.
Right.
Like, you know, with the name, image, likeness, but the G League game fits his style and the way mm-hmm. that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I like about his shooting, he doesn't have to dominate the ball.
Mm.
He does dominate the ball at high school and AAU, but if he gets put on a team with a point guard, high level, you know, initiator from whatever position, like, he is a deadly, deadly off ball floor spacer, and he could hit the shot off movement. He can come off DHOs, or he could spot up in the corner. And I think that when you're looking at this kind of, you know, scoring guard, you don't want him to just have to dominate the ball and have this high usage. The fact that he's going to easily fit alongside anybody in any lineup, that's another reason why I'm so high on him.
Dude, I freaking agree with everything that you just said. I wanted to touch on the Jalen Green thing really quickly. I think the biggest difference between the two, Corey, is that when Jalen Green was going into the G League, his headline trait was the athleticism. For Jaden Hardy, his headline trait is actually going to be the shooting. And I think that's the biggest difference there, which is why I really agree with what you said, because we'll get into the handle later and the separation stuff, because all of that is in his bag as well. But I think the biggest difference between the two, as you mentioned, is that Hardy is coming in as a better shooter, and that's actually his headline trait, you know? And so I really agree with that. And in terms of the catch and shoot stuff, dude, like, I think about like 3 to 4 games in, it got to the point where, like, anytime he was shooting off the catch, I would be absolutely shocked if it didn't go in. And, like, you know, we have shooters like that in the league. As we watch, you know, as people watch a lot of basketball, you're going to find shooters where when they're wide open and they take a shot, you expect it to go in. That's kind of where I was with Hardy after a couple games. I was like, if there was ever opportunity where he was catching and shooting, I was like, oh, that's going in. You know, almost like a Tom Brady dime or whatever. Like, you just expect it to be perfect and expect it to be good. And that's kind of the point that I got to with Hardy in terms of, you know, his catch and shoot ability. And that's really scary to think about on the next level and the level after that.
Yeah. And like Zach LaVine for the Bulls for me is like that. Like, he does so much on the ball. And that's why it's so, you know, intriguing that the Bulls' off-season moves, you know, we brought in Lonzo, brought in DeMar DeRozan, other guys that can give Zach some time off the ball. Because anytime Zach was in one of the corners, I felt like he had to shoot like 97% from there. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, having to do so much work on ball, it takes a lot out of you as a player a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Having to create every single possession, that's rough. But if you can, you know, get a little bit of movement and do your work off the ball, maybe take a little bit of J.J. Redick to your game, which, you know, just wanted to shout J.J. Redick out due to his retirement. I, you know, speaking quickly, I remember J.J. was one of the first, like, high school players that I truly appreciated. I saw him at the McDonald's All-American game in New York. My AAU coach, my travel coach, he coached Amityville High School at the time, and they had a McDonald's All-American named Jason Frazier, who went to Villanova with that class. I remember sitting next to J.J. Redick's parents at Christ the King, and I was like, wow, that's who I want to play like. And what's crazy is he's only a couple of years older than me, and like, but it felt like such a ridiculous age gap when you're in high school. But yeah, king of off-ball movement. And I think Hardy, you know, he can put that in his bag. And you talked about the space creation on the ball. It's not like he's just a shooter. He's got the handle.
Oh yeah.
And the combo moves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did you like about his handle?
No, I mean, it wasn't. We're not talking about, you know, prime Rafer Alston skip to my loose stuff. We're not talking about hot sauce here. We're talking about a really effective and practical handle. Like it just, you know, I never felt like I was watching N1 mixtape, but I love that he was able to use his handle and the combo moves that you talked about to get open. And beyond that too, like we spent last year evaluating so many prospects and talking about, you know, Cam Thomas and his whole step back stuff, and Hardy's got a sick step back. He creates a ton of separation when he does go to the step back. Now, he doesn't spam it like Cam Thomas did or some other guys did, but when he does use it, maybe because he doesn't spam it so much, it's really freaking effective. And then we're talking about him. We're talking about him pulling off step backs from 30 plus feet. It's freaking insane. We're step back, side steps, whatever. Like, it's unbelievable. So the biggest thing that I liked about his hand, I also like the fact that he gets down low. It didn't fit, like there weren't a lot of moments where I thought he was getting like lazy with the handle. Like I felt like when he had the ball in his hands and he was trying to make a move, like he was really going to commit to it. I didn't get a lot of laziness from that. Now, there were hints of laziness in other parts of his game that we'll get to. But in terms of the handle, I thought he got low. I thought he created a lot of separation. I thought he wasn't trying to do too much. Now, of course, sometimes he did. But overall, it was a really effective handle that I enjoyed a lot.
And I love the pace that he plays.
Oh, with, yeah.
You know, yes. Like with there's a lot of hesitations. There's a lot of, and when he throws a hezzy at you, you think he's shooting it. So it's going to be devastating because as soon as he gets that upward motion, you have to contest it because he could literally pull it from anywhere. But like you said, he'll come up high with the hezzy and then come back down low with a cross between the legs. I mean, he's got the behind the back. It seems like his wingspan is going to measure out. Yes. Be pretty impressive. I couldn't find it anywhere, but just watching him, it seems like he's got a long wingspan, and that obviously helps with the ball handling. You know, he doesn't have like an elite first step with it,
right?
You know, he doesn't have that first step burst quickness like Davion Mitchell did, but he does play with enough pace, and that threat of the shot, it just opens everything up as a driver. And I think that he had some really nice attacks to the rim. I do, you know, some of the shots that he settles for where he's pulling up, I do wish he would attack.
Yes.
But, and if he finds that right balance next year, it's going to be scary.
Right.
Because that's what is going to prop him up as hey, this dude's going to score 32 points per game in the NBA. Like him. Right. Finding a way to get to the free throw line 7-8 times a game, if he could do that, and I think he's capable of it, that's what's going to make him the elite of the elite scorers, right? But I thought that he had nice attacks to the rim, especially with his right hand. When he was able to get downhill to the right side, I thought that he was really crafty there. He was able to – he's strong. I think he's able to take contact. His shoulders are broad. I think his body is going to really like, I think he's going to be a strong dude as he gets in that NBA weight training program. Going to his left, it's not like going left is not the problem. I think he's the one spot on offense that there's like a little bit of rigidity to is when he has to finish with his left hand. There's a lot of times he gets a little sloppy, a little out of control. And just kind of throws it up towards the hoop a little bit. So there's still sometimes he's able to get to his right hand on that left side and he's hitting guys with pump fakes and, you know, using his body to move guys. But when it's just like kind of a downhill drive one-on-one, or he's trying to beat somebody to the rim, it's a little awkward. I don't know. Am I crazy? Right?
No, no. So, Corey, in my notes, it's crazy that you just transitioned into that, because I actually wanted to ask you about it, because when I was watching him play, I agree. I felt like he settled too much. I literally wrote, I don't know what to think about his driving. Feels like he settles too much for his jump shots, you know, for the long jump shots. And I was wondering what I was thinking about. Like, is that just like a high school thing for him right now? Like, as he's playing for Air Nado, or he's playing for Coronado, or he's playing for whoever. Like, is it just a thing where, like, he's kind of just falling in love with the long jumper? But as he gets to the G League, maybe will he take it to the rim a little bit better or a little bit more often and be more willing? Because I think what you said about his physique is right on, because I think there's a weird thing about him where he has such a long wingspan where his hands are pretty much touching his knees, but at the same time he's also kind of compact. like his upper body, there's definitely some, like, okay, here's another joke. Like, there's some girth to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he can take the contact. He takes it well. And so, like, you know, considering all that, it's kind of like, hey, you have all the pieces to be more aggressive going to the rim. He's not a freak athlete, but he is athletic. You know, and as you mentioned, like, I like some of the herky jerky stuff that he was doing. I like the hesitation stuff. So if you start to put all those pieces together, and then with the threat of his, like, pretty much elite level jump shot for his age, he should be getting to the basket more. He should be drawing more fouls. So that was something I was going to ask you, because I felt like, you know, it feels like more of just a high school thing, like situational. And once he gets to the next level, that'll change.
Yeah, I guess time will tell, right? But I mean, I have him number one. You have him number one. I think that we both believe that it's more of a, like, I could just pull up whenever and it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to get to the rim anytime. But he's going to, you know, he's going to have to fix the shot diet.
Right.
You can't, a lot of those long jumpers turn into empty calories, right? And they feel good in the moment. That those, when I was coming home from the show the other night, and it was me and two of the guys in the band, it was 2:30 in the morning, and we were like, let's get some food. And there's a pizza place right by my apartment that is open till 4 in the morning, and we were like, let's get some pizza. And I had two cold cheese slices, and in the moment you're like, this is amazing. But then you feel terrible about it afterwards, because you knew it was the wrong decision. You shouldn't have had two slices. You could have just settled for one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes what these shots are for him. Like, yeah, he could, if it goes in, it's going to be delicious. It's going to look beautiful. It's going to feel good. But sometimes just pass up on it. You don't need that extra shot. Go to the rim. You know, use that ability to get into the paint based off how far the defense has to cover you, and collapse the defense, move it, make the defense work. Don't let them rest by jacking up long jumpers. Get into the teeth of the defense and either get downhill so you can get fouled or score near the hoop. Or, and this is probably a good time to transition into his playmaking.
Yeah.
Now, I was a little surprised when I was looking for his stats that he had averaged 8.4 assists a game. What do you think about Hardy as a playmaker?
So, okay, I was, dude, you're killing the transitions today. Our listeners need to give you some props. You're absolutely killing the transitions today. For me, I really liked his passing, because even like last year, you and I were big Cam Thomas guys. I freaking loved Cam Thomas.
Yes.
I hated that everyone was like, oh, he doesn't pass. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, he doesn't pass, but also we have to look at circumstance, you know, like, it wasn't all his fault. And for Hardy, though, like, the biggest thing that I got from Hardy was, like, I thought he did a great job of using his gravity to set up his teammates. There were a lot of games, whether it was AAU or club basketball or whatever. And also, we should mention, Corey, why are there like 9,000 different high school leagues? I have no idea what the hell I'm watching sometimes. But anyway, there were a couple of times where one thing I really did enjoy was he'd be going against a team that, you know, maybe the talent level wasn't exactly at his level or the team's level, and all eyes would be on him. And there were a couple of times that I saw him kind of get into the lane, you know, the big gravitates to him, everyone's kind of eyes on him, gravitating towards him, and you throw up like a really savvy lob or a really savvy pass to the corner or the weak side corner. And I was like, you know what, this is good stuff. Like, this is actually high level, well, maybe not high level, but good passing and stuff that is encouraging, you know. Like, what I wrote in my notes is he was not by any means special, but also he wasn't a black hole. And that was encouraging for me, because we're talking about a guy who is trending towards being like an elite level type of scorer. And if he's got some playmaking to him, and he's got the vision, and he's got the instincts, and he's got the savvy to know how to use his gravity like that, then we're talking about him going up another level as a playmaker and a scorer as well. So I was actually pleasantly surprised by the passing.
Okay. So I'm going to push back a little with the black hole stuff, because I thought sometimes he was a little black holey.
Right.
But I also want to say, I think that he has excellent passing chops. It's just, when is he going to decide to do it? Because I thought that he was a score first, score second, pass third kind of guy. When he did make passes, when he was looking to do that, or when he had to, I was wildly impressed by the touch, the range in which he could fire off like a bullet and still hit his man. Mm-hmm. And just kind of the natural feel in like where to place the ball, you know, how to lead the man to the spot. Like, I thought his touch and his just feel for the game in that regard was really excellent. It's just, there were a lot of times where I was just like, man, like, come off this screen and everyone's focused on you. Like, just get rid of it early. Now, as a high school coach myself, you know, we had a kid a couple of years ago, shout out Colin Cassara, who broke the school scoring record. And a lot of the offense was like, yo, go get us a bucket. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't stop you. Go get us a bucket. And as a young player, I know that it's a hard line that when you're hearing that from like the coaching staff, and I'm sure he is, because we're talking about an, you know, top three NBA level prospect versus, you know, a kid in a regular league on Long Island. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like find that middle ground of like, all right, I'm supposed to score. I'm supposed to pull up. Versus like, some of the times I need to use that to get my teammates involved. It's a hard balance because he's not a guy, like, he's not a point guard, you know, like, he's a shooting guard. He's a traditional shooting guard in my eyes. And I think that one of the things I'm going to watch for next year really carefully is how he's used as a playmaker. And if he can make some of these NBA level reads with NBA level talent, because that's going to be the separator. Can he play alongside NBA level talent as a passer? He certainly has the talent to do it. Mm-hmm. He certainly has the ability to do it. Is he going to have the want? Like, if he came out and averaged like 4 assists a game in the G League, or, you know, extrapolate that, you know, minutes based anywhere around that, I would think that was like a big time win. And I think he's capable of it. So that's what I want to see. Cause sometimes, like, I thought the decision-making, like, he'd get a little too dribbly. He'd miss like basic reads because he wasn't looking to pass. And I think sometimes he needs to look to pass, but when he does it, he's great. He's great at it. And that's, I think, where those assist numbers come from at the high school level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think it was just a matter of like, I thought that there were moments, maybe from the games that I watched, I felt like he did do a good job of using that gravity. And I think that's why I kind of prefaced everything by bringing up the whole Cam Thomas thing, because yeah, you're right. Like, there are clear moments where he was definitely hunting his shot above everything else and hunting, you know, trying to figure out something for himself rather than his teammates. But I think he, for me personally, I thought he showed enough glimpses where I'm still a little bit more optimistic about him, especially as you mentioned, with like better talent around him next year. So yeah, I think overall, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I just think that, yeah, there's more there than meets the eye, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And again, if I thought that he was going to be a complete black hole, I probably wouldn't have him at number one.
Right.
Maybe I'd be so enamored with the shooting as I am that I still would. But I don't think it's as big of a problem area as, you know, some of the other prospects and their problem areas. Is there anything else you think we missed offensively?
Just going through this right now. No, I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered on it. Oh, the one thing. Okay, this I did want to say. Offensively, I actually kind of liked his body language. Like, I thought his body language was decent because there were a couple of games where he was playing on teams where the talent wasn't as great and he was like begging for the ball and they wouldn't give it to him, but he didn't pout about it. Like, you know, we see that sometimes in high school basketball where a guy's like begging for the ball, he doesn't get it, he just pouts and he's like checked out for the rest of the possession. Yeah. I didn't see too much of that from Hardy, and that actually made me really excited. And I was like, oh, I like that he's not pouting. that, because he could be like, he could be a total high school diva and be like, give me the damn ball every single time. But I actually thought his body language was a little underrated, and I was pretty, well, not that anyone's rated it yet, but you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, this is like a good thing. And I was kind of happy with that.
You're putting your flag down in the Jaden Hardy body language camp. Garbage time Gim was here first. I love it. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I have no idea. I haven't talked to anybody yet about like his background information. Is he a good kid or anything like that? But, you know, reading the Gatorade Player of the Year press release, it mentioned his like excellent moral character, and that he volunteered his time helping with suicide prevention at like a clinic or something. And he volunteered elsewhere working. I forgot what it was, but it was like another good cause. Mm-hmm. And like that stuff's awesome, you know, and that's good to know. And if you're a good teammate and you're as talented and you're just like a good person who has like a good head on his shoulders, like sky's the limit there. Defensively.
Okay.
Talk to me on ball, man to man defense for Mr. Hardy.
So, I mean, I imagine the tune of our voices and everything's about to change a little bit here. Because the first thing that I wrote is defense optional? and I was like, is this like a high school thing? Is this a Hardy thing? I'm not sure. I kind of gave up counting how many positions I saw him kind of like float a little bit. There were a lot of possessions where he would do the poke and the poke around, and then just kind of float and lose himself a little bit. I did not enjoy that. Some of the on ball stuff too. I said, you know, he gets low with his handle sometimes. I didn't like how he wasn't getting very low in his stance for a lot of possessions. The one thing I did like was the length. I thought his length popped at times. But overall, Corey, like my first initial answer to him defensively is a huge incomplete, because there was a lot of floating.
There was. And he loved the poke away thing. And that's like the ultimate float move.
Yep.
You know, like you know who does that? Like old guys like me. you know, like I'm just gonna try to can I stay with this guy? Probably, but I'm just gonna try to anticipate and poke from behind. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. When it does work, great, lay up the other way. When it doesn't work, you're kind of fucked, because now the guy's downhill and you're behind him. And that there it was certainly a mixed bag, much more negative on that than positive. When he is deep in his stance, he is a very good lateral mover, and he's very long. So like, and he's strong. So incomplete is a good way to put it, because if we were judging it strictly based on the high school AAU tape, I would give it a D, mm-hmm. you know? But is it optional? Like that's the way it looked. You said it. That's the way it felt sometimes. He has all the tools to be a solid defender. It's just like, hey man, are you gonna actually want to sit and grind here? Because if you do that, then like you have the goods. It's a little Anthony Edwardsy. You know, like there were possessions where at Georgia where Anthony Edwards just straight up clamped people, just like not fair. Like he's bigger than you, he's stronger than you, he's faster than you. And you can do nothing because this man is giving his all in this possession. And then there were possessions where we were like, hey man, are you on the floor even? Hardy
Simmons was like that too.
Yeah. Well, look, the Simmons stuff is interesting, man, because one of the big knocks on him pre-draft was like the attitude, the effort. And it looked like for a while that stuff was completely overblown, right? Because he's turned himself into this phenomenal defender, and he truly is. He's a fantastic player, even given his faults, but he's just such a fucking diva.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he sucks.
Get over yourself.
Yeah,
and
he sucks.
And that's why, you know, talking about character in the pre-draft process sometimes is very important, because now there's this big problem in Philadelphia where they've got this guy under contract for a long time, and he's saying, I'm not coming to training camp.
Yeah.
Trade me. Yeah. I won't be here. I'm never playing again. Like, if Daryl Morey was just like, no, we're not trading you. You will play again. It'll either be for the Sixers or it'll be on a new NBA team in 2027. Pick one. Like, he's going to play. I'm sure Morey's going to, you know, trade him for whatever package. And that's going to be really, really interesting, because it's probably going to be like, if it's for the Kings package, we're going to have to talk about that, because it's probably going to involve some young prospects. And, you know, that'll be an interesting discourse. But the character stuff's important. And Simmons, it all came back to roost, right?
Dude, okay, really quickly, Corey, Simmons for me is like the type of guy, for everyone listening, I'm sure you guys go out to dinner with your friends, and hopefully you don't have this type of friend in your friend group, but like, it's that one guy, like, you go to eat dinner and then you're having a good time, everyone's like, you know, enjoying the food, good conversation, and then like someone says something to like a guy, and it's like, oh, you know, like, is that sweater from JCPenney? It's like, no, like, what the hell, like, the sweater is from like Gucci. Like, how can you say that to me? And then like, we all have plans to go to dessert. And then right when we leave the restaurant about to go to dessert, he's like, you know what, guys? Like, I think I'm just going to go home. It's like, what the, dude, like, what's wrong with you? Like, did it hurt your feelings that bad that you want to go home? And then it gets awkward for the whole group. That's Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons is not a fun hang. Like, he's the exact type of guy that like, you don't ever want to be friends with. And I'm so sick of it, dude. Like, even reading that freaking Woj tweet today, I was like, I'm just out on him. Like, don't talk to me about Ben Simmons ever again. Like, I'm totally out on him. Like, I love him as a defender. I loved him as a player. It was really unfortunate what happened in the playoffs, and that is like a him thing. But dude, this guy sucks. His personality is trash. I'm totally out.
Yeah, if I was a player, I would be very like, do I want to play with this dude? Or if I was a front office, like, can I trust this? If you're a player, you're like, can I trust this guy to like not shrivel up in the playoffs? Like, that's absolutely a conversation that's happening, I'm sure, between NBA players. And then if you're a front office, like, how much am I willing to give up for this guy? Because talent wise, it's a no brainer for a lot of these teams. And if you can get him for an appropriate value, that's obviously something every NBA team should consider. But like, what is that value? Because this dude is threatening to not play another game. Yeah. For a team he's under contract for, like, they owe him $140 million. Now, I bet he would be much less willing to like sit out if his contract didn't allow him to get half of his earnings before the NBA season started this year. You know, like, there's no consequence to him, I guess, sitting out a lot of these first games. Right. He's still getting, you know, $16 million or whatever the hell it is. But man, if you're an NBA front office, you got to be careful trading for this guy, because if you're giving up really valuable pieces, then it's a risk. It's a major risk reward. But we talked about the outstanding moral fiber of Jaden Hardy. So hopefully he doesn't find himself in that predicament. And also he's probably not going to be afraid to shoot the basketball, given what we just talked about for 40 minutes with him. Off the ball, another mixed bag. I saw him make some, you know, plays in the passing lanes that were, you know, pretty nice. And then I saw him just not be in the right spots. And off the ball defense is something that even young players in the NBA struggle with. It's every level, it gets harder. The speed gets faster. And I think it's just a wait and see approach with that. You know, watching these high school tapes, it's a lot of the nuanced stuff. It's hard to take away from that a lot of times, because everybody's so discombobulated. And it's like, if on the off ball team defense side of it, like, even if he's in the right spot, somebody else maybe isn't in the right spot. So then he's got to rotate over to help. And it's like, what is going on? You're just in a whirlwind. So I'll give his defense an incomplete. But I did think that it's fair to break down his offensive game. I think that you can take away all the things that we took away from his offensive game watching it. So if you want to watch like some Hardy tape, and I'll have the scouting breakdown on my YouTube channel, pretty pretty soon, hopefully either late this week or early next week. If you want to do that, then and wait, then that's great. You'll get a little condensed version in visual, but there are games available to watch on YouTube if you want to go out and watch and play a full game. It's time, Albert.
Okay.
We really need a sponsor for this segment.
We do.
So,
like, Uniball or
yeah, sure,
Bic Uniball. Or something.
Anybody, if there's a listener and you got a business, and you want to sponsor the Sell Me This Pen segment, hit your boys up.
Yeah,
let's talk. Yeah. We could talk, but money talks. So talk more bucks. Right. Albert, Sell Me This Pen on Jaden Hardy.
Sell Me This Pen, brought to you by Office Depot. Sounds about right, you know? So, I'm with you, Corey. Okay, Sell You This Pen. I think the best way to think about Jaden Hardy is that he can, like, if you're a team that's looking for an alpha, a team that's looking for a number one option, a guy you can run your complete offense through, a guy who has some passing chops, if you're kind of, like, interested in guys that are like that, also, if you're interested in guys who are like 6'4", good athleticism, long wingspan, has, you know, decent defensive upside as well, I mean, you should take Jaden Hardy. It's as simple as that. And if you are not into those things, maybe you shouldn't be looking into prospects, because Jaden Hardy essentially has everything. Well, sorry, not everything, but most of the things that you're looking for in terms of a potential superstar. So if you like superstars and you like adding those types of players to your team, you should grab a Jaden Hardy.
If you're buying stock in Jaden Hardy, who may you have bought stock in previously?
This was hard, dude. Like, I read a lot of people, whether it was on YouTube or like wherever, throwing the Bradley Beal stuff around.
Yeah.
I read some Trae Young stuff, which I don't know. I didn't really get that vibe too much. You know, I don't hate the Bradley Beal one. Like, you know, Bradley Beal's body definitely developed in the league. Bradley Beal, like Jaden Hardy, is kind of more of like a traditional beautiful shooter rather than, like, as you mentioned, like the one motion shooter. You know, similar heights too, right? I'm pretty sure Beal's like a 6'4", too. Hardy's like a 6'4".
I think Hardy might be bigger.
Oh, yeah? Okay, even better then. So, I don't want to say Bradley Beal, but I at the same time, like, I think that's out there for a reason, because there is some Beal to him. So I'll throw that out there. And, you know, I really couldn't think of anybody else. I just really enjoyed his game a lot, and I really enjoy Bradley Beal's game. So, yeah, I don't hate that comparison.
There are definitely some Bradley Beal comps. I think that's going to be the most popular comp throughout the entire draft process, because while I do think Jaden Hardy's a little bit bigger, it's only a little,
yeah.
You know, so I think that it's fair. Here is my comp, maybe a little out of left field, but I'm doing, you know,
Khalid El-Amin.
I'm doing, we talk about him so much on this podcast. I feel like I'm doing a little, I'm in the lab, I'm in the chemistry lab. I'm a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I kind of think that he played a little bit like Jason Tatum meets Damian Lillard.
Oh.
There's like that Jason Tatum smoothness to him in the way that he gets to his shots with the step backs, the side steps, all the space creation. I think he's got like similarly broad shoulders and like length. He's just shorter. Mm-hmm. But then he also has Dame's range. So he's able to add this element that Tatum doesn't quite have. Like, Tatum's turned himself into a shooter at distance for sure, compared to what we thought about him at Duke, but he doesn't have the deep range yet.
Mm-hmm.
But similarly, like, Simmons wasn't necessarily known as a creator. Everybody wants him to go to the basket more because he's a guy that settles for a lot of off the bounce shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think he plays a lot like Jason Tatum. He just has the range of a Damian Lillard.
Dude, that's actually really good. And as you were talking, it reminded me of one more player. And I want to throw him out there because he's one of my favorite players ever. And maybe that's why I'm so in love with Hardy right now. Now, when this guy came into the league, he came in as a second rounder, came in more as a defensive guy and developed his game more and more. Not that he didn't have the offensive arsenal at Arizona, but he kind of grew more into it in the league. And at this point, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, Corey. I'm getting a little bit of Gilbert vibes because for Gilbert Arenas, like, I loved Gilbert going to the basket more because Gilbert was so freaking strong. It was like unbelievable how strong that guy was. But my thing with Hardy is that I think Hardy has that similar compactness where he could become a Gilbert-like finisher as he continues to blossom into his body. And then you talk about limitless range. You talk about the compact handle, getting to his spots, space like the space creation. I've got a little bit of Gilbert in my book for him.
Gilbert is – he was so fucking good.
He was my favorite. I love that dude.
I like him so much that I say that I like him, even though he hit a game-winning playoff shot over Kirk Heinrich, my all-time favorite basketball player. And I still love watching Gilbert Arenas. That dude was so much fun. And his game today, he would just be.
Oh, my God.
He would – I mean, the way he could score back in the day and at range, like now, I like that. I like that comp a lot too. Do you think there's any volatility to Hardy?
So the only volatility with Hardy for me is he going to be an all NBA guy or like a multiple time all-star guy, if you know what I mean? Like I'm wondering if he'll eventually become like a first team all NBA guy or a guy who makes a lot of all-star teams and like flirts with like third team all NBA, second team all NBA. Like I'm kind of that high on him. Now, of course, like there are so many different things that can, you know, throw a wrench into all this. And I think defense is part of that. Playmaking is part of that. But I just think like, you get him to the next level and he continues to develop. Like this guy, it's almost impossible for him to not be good. So he's not a super volatile guy for me at all.
Yeah, I think he's incredibly safe. Taking him almost anywhere is like in the top five. You know, we'll wait it out before we make any hardcore firm declarations. But I think that he's going to be a guy that I just can't see him dropping out of this first tier group. I could see it for some of the other guys that are, you know, in like ESPN's top 10 pre rankings. But for I think Hardy is just too special of a talent. And I don't think there's any volatility. And I think he's just going to be there the whole time. I'm pumping his stock. I'm buying it hard. You have him number one. I know you're pumping the stock.
Yep.
We're big time Jaden Hardy fans over here. Cannot wait to see him play basketball. It's going to happen soon. The seasons are nearing every day. We're one day closer. It's officially fall. I mean, it's feeling like basketball season, man.
We're getting close, Corey, man. Like training camp's right around the corner. The season's like less than a month away. It almost feels surreal that we're here. Like it feels like yesterday that the season ended and like yesterday that we just did summer school and all that stuff. Like it's crazy that we're here, but I'm pumped. And Corey, as you hinted at before, we have some exciting stuff coming down the pipe. So maybe you can talk about that, but I'm ready. I'm here for it. And I'm excited, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's been hinting at it. We're forming a super group. We don't officially have a name, but I think we're trending towards one. We've had some Zoom meetings. You're going to get a lot of draft content this year, a lot of audio format, a lot of video, a lot of writing, and a lot of collaboration between some really talented draft evaluators. We're going to have fun with it. We're not going to try to be all pretentious about it. We're just going to have fun and cover the draft, I think, in a way that nobody's covering it currently. So it's going to be a really exciting draft season. I think that we really did a great job last season of covering the draft. And I think that this one's going to be even better. So it's going to be fun. Albert, tell everybody where they can now officially find you on the internets.
You could find me at GTG NBA, which is my new handle. Garbage Time Gim is my new persona. I'm the same dude. They just gave me a new name. is where I'm at. And we're excited, dude. As Corey just mentioned, there's a lot coming down the pipe, and there's a lot that we want to bring to you guys. And there's a lot we want to share with you guys. And of course, like, you know, most, if not all of it is going to be free. And, you know, we're trying to be about the people, and we're so thankful for all of our listeners who've been riding with us since day one. And so we're excited to give you guys premium content, and we're working hard to pump that all out there. So come find me at GTGNBA, and let's get the ball rolling.
Yes, sir. You can find me at the Hardwood Mag, and make sure to check out the YouTube channel, subscribe to that. I've already covered Banchero and Chet Holmgren in scouting videos, and the Jaden Hardy film and is all cut up. The script is almost done, so that one's going to be done soon. Trying to bang out, you know, a few more of these preseason scouting videos before the actual season starts. And make sure you like and you subscribe to the Draft Dak podcast. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. That'd be dope. Mm. We want to hear what you like, what you don't like. And Albert, the Draft Dak merch is on its way to you. Oof. I got it in, and you know, waiting on a few other things, little photos here and there, and then I'm putting up some merch for the hardwood, and there's gonna be a Draft Dak merch design on there. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Head to the Twitter. That's where all the links happen.
Yep.
That's where the good stuff happens. Thank you so much for rocking with us. And we're going to be back next week with another prospect. I feel like maybe we should talk about Chet, because Albert subtly mentioned how Chet's fallen off for him a little bit. So I think that's where we're going. And I cannot wait to talk about it. So until that time, y'all, we out. Thank you for rocking with us. Peace.
Peace.